The Inquisitors of Ix, having assembled in the Grand Palais with the candidate for ambassador to the court of the Lord Leto, the following questions and answers were recorded. Inquisitor.
You indicate that you wish to speak to us of the Lord Leto's motives. Speak.
Qui nori.
Your formal analyses do not satisfy the questions I would raise.
Inquisitor.
What questions?
Qui nori.
I ask myself what would motivate the Lord Leto to accept this hideous transformation, this worm body, this loss of his humanity. You suggest merely that he did it for power and for long life.
Inquisitor.
Are those not enough?
Qui nori.
Ask yourselves if one of you would make such payment for so paltry a return.
Inquisitor.
From your infinite wisdom, then, tell us why the Lord Leto chose to become a worm.
Qui nori.
Does anyone here doubt his ability to predict the future?
Inquisitor.
Now then, is that not payment enough for his transformation?
Qui nori.
But he already had the prescient ability, as did his father before him. No. I propose that he made this desperate choice because he saw in our future something that only such a sacrifice would prevent.
Inquisitor.
What was this peculiar thing which only he saw in our future?
Qui nori.
I do not know, but I propose to discover it.
Inquisitor.
You make the tyrant appear a selfless servant of the people.
Qui nori.
Was that not a prominent characteristic of his Atreides family?
Inquisitor.
So the official histories would have us believe.
Qui nori.
The oral history affirms it.
Inquisitor.
What other good character would you give to the tyrant worm?
Qui nori.
Good character, sirrah?
Inquisitor.
Character, then?
Qui nori.
My uncle Nalki often said that the Lord Leto was given to moods of great tolerance for selected companions.
Inquisitor.
Other companions he executes for no apparent reason.
Qui nori.
I think there are reasons, and my uncle Nalki deduced some of those reasons.
Inquisitor.
Give us one such deduction.
Qui nori.
Clumsy threats to his person.
Inquisitor.
Clumsy threats now.
Qui nori.
And he does not tolerate pretensions. Recall the execution of the historians and the destruction of their works.
Inquisitor.
He does not want the truth known.
Qui nori.
He told my uncle Nalki that they lied about the past. And mark you, who would know this better than he? We all know the subject of his introversion.
Inquisitor.
What proof have we that all of his ancestors live in him?
Qui nori.
I will not enter that bootless argument. I will merely say that I believe it on the evidence of my uncle Malky's belief, and his reasons for that belief.
Inquisitor.
We have read your uncle's reports, and interpret them otherwise. Malky was overly fond of the worm.
Qui nori.
My uncle accounted him the most supremely artful diplomat in the empire, a master conversationalist, and expert in any subject you could name.
Inquisitor.
Did your uncle not speak of the worm's brutality?
Qui nori.
My uncle judged him ultimately civilized.
Inquisitor.
I asked about brutality.
Qui nori.
Capable of brutality, yes.
Inquisitor.
Your uncle feared him.
Qui nori.
The Lord Leto lacks all innocence and naivete. He is to be feared only when he pretends these traits. That was what my uncle said.
Inquisitor.
Those were his words, yes.
Qui nori.
More than that. Malky said, the Lord Leto delights in the surprising genius and diversity of humankind. He is my favorite companion.
Inquisitor.
Giving us the benefit of your supreme wisdom, how do you interpret these words of your uncle?
Qui nori.
Do not mock me.
Inquisitor.
We do not mock. We seek enlightenment.
Qui nori.
These words of Malky, and many other things that he wrote directly to me, suggest that the Lord Leto is always seeking after newness and originality, but that he is wary of the destructive potential in such things. So my uncle believed.
Inquisitor.
Is there more which you wish to add to these beliefs, which you share with your uncle?
Qui nori.
I see no point in adding to what I've already said. I am sorry to have wasted the Inquisitor's time.
Inquisitor.
But you have not wasted our time. You are confirmed as ambassador to the court of Lord Leto, the God Emperor of the known universe.
You must remember that I have at my internal demand every expertise known to our history. This is the fund of energy I draw upon when I address the mentality of war. If you have not heard the moaning cries of the wounded and the dying, you do not know about war. I have heard those cries in such numbers that they haunt me. I have cried out myself in the aftermath of battle. I have suffered wounds in every epoch, wounds from fist and club and rock, from shell-studded limb and bronze sword, from the mace and the cannon, from arrows and laser guns and the silent smothering of atomic dust, from biological invasions which blacken the tongue and drown the lungs, from the swift gush of flame and the silent working of slow poisons, and more I will not recount. I have seen and felt them all. To those who dare ask why I behave as I do, I say, with my memories, I can do nothing else. I am not a coward, and once I was human.
The Stolen Journals. In the warm season when the satellite weather controllers were forced to contend with winds across the great seas, evening often saw rainfall at the edges of the Serere. Mineo, coming in from one of his periodic inspections of the Citadel's perimeter, was caught in a sudden shower. Night fell before he reached shelter. A fish speaker guard helped him out of his damp cloak at the south portal. She was a heavy-set, blocky woman with a square face, a type Leto favored for his guardians.
"Those damned weather controllers should be made to shape up," she said, as she handed him his damp cloak.
Mineo gave her a curt nod before beginning the climb to his quarters. All of the fish speaker guards knew the God Emperor's aversion to moisture, but none of them made Mineo's distinction.
"It is the worm who hates water," Mineo thought. "Shai-Hulud hungers for Dune."
In his quarters, Mineo dried himself and changed to dry clothing before descending to the crypt. There was no point in inviting the worm's antagonism. Uninterrupted conversation with Leto was required now, plain talk about the impending peregrination to the festival city of An. Leaning against the wall of the descending lift, Mineo closed his eyes. Immediately, fatigue swept over him. He knew he had not slept enough in days, and there was no let-up in sight. He envied Leto's apparent freedom from the need for sleep. A few hours of semi-repose a month appeared to be sufficient for the God Emperor. The smell of the crypt and the stopping of the lift jarred Mineo from his catnap. He opened his eyes and looked out at the God Emperor on his cart in the center of the great chamber. Mineo composed himself and strode out for the familiar long walk into the terrible presence. As expected, Leto appeared alert. That, at least, was a good sign. Leto had heard the lift approaching and saw Mineo awaken.